answer, they would have fulfilled God's agenda for their life, for this humanity. If somebody came with a herb that cured AIDS, they would have fulfilled God's agenda. Praise the Lord. Now understand this. God's will is not for all of us to be preachers. But God's will is for all of us that we live to the maximum potential we were born with and become that which we should before we die. Because the Holy Spirit is praying, making intercession through us. Now, it is interesting that Jesus is our intercessor and our advocate. And also, we find the Holy Spirit also making intercession. It's a wonderful paradigm that both Jesus and the Holy Spirit stand in proxy of the believer. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And then verse 28 says, and we know. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to pray for you, you know the will of God. You come into knowledge. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Those who are the called according to his purpose. Who are those called to his purpose? All of his creation. Because God does not want any man to perish. Yet, who are the called according to his purpose? Those who have been elected, ordained according to the foreknowledge of God. Who have embraced the finished work of Jesus on the cross. God has saved the world. Yet, the world must come to a decision to embrace the saving grace of Christ. If they don't, it's not God's fault. It is their fault. Because God, by the blood of his Son, has put the world in the same state so that all who believe on Jesus become saved. Now, wait a minute. I did not say that the whole world has been saved. I'd never said that. I said God has put the world by the power of his blood in a saved state, in a position, so that if the world would believe on Jesus and his finished work, they equally will be redeemed because it is the purpose of God. It is the plan of Jehovah. Praise the Lord. Let me show you some kinds of prayer that Paul prays, and we'll bring this to a close. Ephesians 1. And when you see this, you're going to start to pray the same way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to suggest to you that you pray that kind of way. You pray this kind of way. You make the Pauline way of praying your way of prayer. Praise the Lord. I know that, you know, sometimes in Pentecostal and charismatic circles, you know, we pray, we stamp our foot, we do all kinds of semantics. Those things, if they are good to keep us in prayer, must be continued. Praise the Lord. However, stamping of your foot does not kick the devil. Neither does clapping hard your hands. What shoots the enemy from his place is the knowledge of the revealed word of God in your recreated spirit. When you stand as a born-again Christian and you disallow the region of darkness from decree and decrees over your head, because you are knowledgeable of the word of Christ and you know you've been made to sit with him far above all principality and power, not the biggest witch on the next block would have any ascendancy over you because you know your position and your place in Jesus. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 15. Ephesians 1 from verse 15 and 16. This is Paul's way of praying for the church. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Ephesians 1 and from verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith, is that it? In the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. Now the giving of the thanks here is, as we have mentioned already, he was offering a prayer of thanksgiving to God on behalf of the church of Ephesus. This was a church on the move. It was a church that knew the heart cry of God. It was a church that was sensitive to the operation of the Holy Ghost. And so Paul is giving thanks to God. And it says, for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Do you see the word prayer? It's in a plural. It says prayers. Making mention of you in my prayers. In diverse kinds of prayers, I made mention of you. And then it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Do you see the wisdom is put with a spirit? May give to you the spirit of, not wisdom, but the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Did you see that? I said, did you see that? Wisdom and knowledge are not the same. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Now, I'll say that again. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. You can cram in your head. You can gain all kinds of knowledge in your head. But if you don't have the ability to access that knowledge and use it for your betterment and the betterment of society, you are not walking in wisdom. Now, wisdom allows knowledge to come to the surface. When we apply knowledge, we say it is wisdom. Knowledge applied is wisdom. Praise the Lord. Now look at this again. And say he's praying for them that give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. He's praying for them, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened or be opened. You know, he's praying for a church that is on the move, a church that knows the voice of the Holy Ghost. It's a prayer warrior church. It's a church that knows about the works of darkness and so forth. But yet he's praying that their eyes become open. That means that the present day church, from time to time, need to pray for enlightenment of spiritual sight. Because our sight can become bleak and it can become short-sighted. Are you listening, somebody? He says that he may give you, he may open your eyes, that the eye of your understanding be enlightened, your understanding be enlightened. What you knew, if you're banking your hopes on what you knew yesterday, you're living on still an old manner. But every day progressively, as the knowledge of God increases in the world and in the earth, your eye of your understanding need to equivalently progress in the same dimension. And then it says that you may know. He said, when you come into light, illumination, clarity, you come to know. It says that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Let me end with Ephesians, the third chapter, very quickly, because I don't have much time. Ephesians chapter 3, and look at verse 14. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Paul is praying. You can see that through and through, he's praying for the church of Ephesus. I bow my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Now listen, child of God. If Paul saw the need of a triumphant church to need prayer, we must come to the understanding that all of us need to be praying one for another. Praise the Lord. And then it says that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts richly, rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding or knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Prayer will bring you, praying according to the Pauline revelation, will bring you to the fullness of God. When you're praying all kinds of prayer with supplication, you come into the place where you are full of the presence of God. You know, when you eat and you are not quite full, you want to top it up. You want to add something to it. It is the same in the area of prayer. When you haven't prayed and really touched the heavens, you know that there is a sense of incomplete business. And when you begin to press and push and pray, you begin to experience the fullness of God. Praise God forevermore. So from this day, begin to pray with the mindset from the standpoint of the victor. Pray from the mindset, well, one who has already overcome. One who has already overcome by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen, somebody. Give the Lord a mighty clap if you love him. Amen. Amen. Did you receive good teaching tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Anytime you are receiving such info, such instruction, your spirit is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And as your spirit man gets stronger and stronger, the enemy's grip over you becomes weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Praise God. Amen. Isaiah says, I mean, I could stand here and just pour into you all night. But Isaiah says, he says, it shall come to pass that his burden shall be taken from off thy neck, his yoke from off thy neck, and his burden from off thee. It was talking about the Assyrian kingdom. But the reference is dealing with the fact that when you put a yoke on a fattened calf's neck, it doesn't fit. The anointing puts weight on you. And when the anointing puts weight on you, when the enemy puts a yoke on you, it will not fit. When the enemy wants you to be yoked with him and dance at the same pace, it doesn't fit. Because God makes you bigger. Praise God. And because God makes you bigger, you are not on the same plane, you know, and you're on the same side. And therefore, anything that he stipulates to put on you will not work. It will not work because you have come into knowledge. Praise God. You go home tonight and say to yourself, I'm going to embrace faith completely. I'm going to access all kinds of prayer. And where you feel a bit, cut off and short and so forth, as a whole.